honorable innocent time in the early 60s. And most importantly, it shows us and introduces us to an incredible sound. Phil Spector's Wall of Sound. And it shows us why the producer of this album, Phil Spector, has become the legend in rock and roll that he is. His work has influenced everyone from the Beatles to Bruce Springsteen. His records are heard on millions of radio stations each and every day. His symphonies for kids like Be My Baby, Walking in the Rain, Da Do Run Run, and You've Lost That Loving Feeling are as popular today as they were 25 years ago. This album, one of the few albums still made, was done with each song getting the same loving attention as those incredible singles. Now, let me take you back to 25 years ago when this album was first released. It was the first week of November in 1963. To ride the subway cost you 15 cents. A pack of cigarettes set you back 30 cents. And for a dollar, you could buy 3 gallons of gas for your car and still buy a candy bar or a soda with your change. On television, we were all watching the Dick Van Dyke Show. On Broadway, we were laughing to Neil Simon's Barefoot at the Park, which introduced us to that new young actor, Robert Redford. The number one song that week was Sugar Shack by Jimmy Gilmer and the Fireballs, with Deep Purple by Nino Tempo and April Stevens breathing down its neck. It was an innocent time that was about to be shattered by a fatal gunshot in Dallas, Texas, that changed the world. But it was in that time that this album was made. In fact, it really began in the summer of 1962. It was in July, in a sunny studio called Gold Star, Studio A. Let me take you there now and show you how it began. It went something like this.
Okay, let's try one. And remember, think outside it's snowing, okay? And it's cold. And it's real wintertime. And it's New York, too. Jimmy, let's go.
Getting ready. his reindeer and his sleigh.
Take it a list, he's checking it twice. Gonna find out what it's like.
sessions that became legend. Bill gathered around him the best musicians and singers he could find. His musicians include players like Hal Blaine on drums, Leon Russell on piano, Dino Tempo and Glenn Campbell on guitars, and his great arranger Jack Nitzsche on percussion. Oh, yeah, I just remembered that. Also on percussion was this kid named Sonny Bono. He used to bring his girlfriend, Cher, along to the sessions to sing background vocals. I've often wondered whatever happened to that. Anyway, as Hal Blaine described, Phil had the magic wand and sprinkled fairy dust on us all. Phil used to book his sessions on Friday nights, so they became like end-of-the-week parties. Soon, Studio A at Gold Star was the place everyone wanted to be. They wanted to be there to touch the magic that Phil was making. He did things no other producer even dared. Now, to create his sound, he'd sometimes use a dozen or more musicians. They'd all be playing at the same time. He'd have maybe three or four pianos, four or more guitars, at least two Fender basses, and at times as many as 8 or 10 people playing castanets, playing jingle bells, shakers, bongos, congas, slapsticks, tambourines, and any other percussion gadgets he could find. Now, we did it all in a four-track studio back then, and it wasn't, they didn't have a lot of special effects. In fact, the only one they had was echo. But before long, everybody began to notice what was happening there. His gang of musicians were known everywhere as the Wrecking Crew. The Wrecking Crew worked spontaneously and leisurely in their t-shirts and their jeans. Now, if you wonder about the name, the old-time musicians gave them that name because they felt they were wrecking the industry. But before long, they became the talk of the music business. Now, Phil also seemed to have a knack for finding singers. Singers that captured the pulse of what teenagers were feeling all over the country. Now, one of these singers was the daughter of a Pentecostal minister. She grew up singing gospel in her father's church, and soon was singing lead with a group called the Blossoms. Now, Phil heard her. Within weeks, she was signed to Philly's Records. That was Phil's record company. Changed her name from Right to Love, and was soon singing leads and backgrounds on just about every record that Phil made thereafter. Now, he recorded her as a Crystal, recorded her as Bobby Socks and the Blue Jeans, and finally, as the one and only Darlene Love.
Must be love.
began this album, he knew he wanted to record 12 traditional Christmas carols. But he also decided that he wanted to do one original song. Bill wrote with various songwriters, and in particular, he wrote with three husband and wife teams. Now, they were the songwriters who defined the times and helped carve the way for the present. He wrote with Carole King and Jerry Goffin. He wrote with Barry Mann and Cynthia Weil. And he wrote with Jeff Barry and Ellie Greenwich. Now, during the making of this album, he was working with Jeff and Ellie. So he decided to get on the phone.
Excuse me, man. What do you want?
Yeah.
singing with her sister and her cousin as the Darling Sisters, singing on the streets of New York City and hanging out at recording studios. And soon they were dancing at the Peppermint Lounge and on the stage of the Brooklyn Fox as Murray the K's Dancing Girls. Well, one day, I know you were there, one day during an audition at Mirror Sound Studios, Phil Spector heard her voice. He knew right then and there that that was the voice he was looking for. The rest is rock and roll history. Miss Ronnie Spector.
Yeah.
pretty much what came out of Gold Star Studio A back in 1963. But wait a minute. I think there was one more session.
Aren't as good as they used to be. Bobby J, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, there's no words to describe the incredible voices of Darlene Love. All of us here at the bottom line, may we wish you the merriest of Christmases and the happiest of New Year's. And thank you so much for letting us share our Christmas with you. wait, it's me now. Jimmy, I just got back from a lovely trip along the Milky Way. I have to say this one more time. I'm gonna get sick.